Pennyworth's Fairy Tales. Originally written by Opalsong. And reimagined and recorded by Litra. A Batman Comics Verse Fairy Tale AU story. Recorded as part of Podfic Pensive, Podfic Polygons 2019. Summary. Once upon a time, in a city covered in the lightest of smog and overshadowed with intricate Gothic architecture, there lived a boy. This boy was the shining beacon of the city, heir to the Wayne fortune and heir to the Wayne's good works. He was beautiful, with hair as dark as night, skin as pale as snow, lips as red as blood. More than anything, his soul was beautiful. He was a good person. His name was Bruce. Snow White. Once upon a time, there was a city by the sea. This was no great and shining city, for though it was great and did shine, it also had many shadows. This city did not have a king or queen to help the people and banish the shadows, but it did have those who were good and kind. One of those, and possibly the greatest, was a boy. Though he was no more than 12, he was already known to have hair as black as night, skin as white as snow, and lips as red as blood. And a heart that was both good and true. He was sometimes called the Prince of Gotham, though, in truth, his name was Bruce Wayne. His parents were Thomas and Martha, and both were good and true people who taught him to be kind and clever. They taught him to help those in need and ask the right questions of those who were not. But this would not be a true tale if all remained joyful. One night, when Thomas and Martha were returning home with their son, they happened upon a witch. Now, Gotham City had many witches of many types, but this one would not be swayed or bargained with. He sought to take the goodness from the Waynes and wrap it up around him like a cloak, for he had none of his own. But one cannot steal goodness, so the spell went awry and took their lives instead. Only Bruce managed to escape, running away and away and away, until he was lost enough that no one could find him, not even a witch. For 7 long years he traveled the world until, by chance, he found himself back in Gotham City. He had no plans to stay, but soon he met a boy, and then another, and a girl. Before long he found himself surrounded by 7 little children. Bruce taught his sons and daughters to be good and kind people, to spread this goodness with good works across the city, and for a time things were well. But the witch remained, and so this story is not yet done. Jealous of Bruce and all his children, the witch attacked again and again. He painted his face a ghostly white, staining his lips red with blood in a mockery of a smile. The laughing witch became feared throughout the land. One day, after many defeats, the laughing witch came up with a plan more terrible than any before. They disguised themselves as an old woman in need, with nothing but a simple apple to offer as thanks. Bruce readily offered his help, and when he took the apple, the poison acted quickly. Bruce fell into a death-like sleep, and so the laughing witch was able to carry him away, finally victorious. And yet the story does not end here either, for what would a story be without a happily ever after? Unlike when he was a child, this time Bruce was not alone, and his children set out to find him. His eldest daughter, Barbara, set out all her eyes and ears and learned of his location in a warehouse by the docks. His second daughter, Cassandra, snuck inside, picking all the locks and leaving the way clear behind her. His eldest son, Dick, swung through the rafters, clearing away the witch's henchmen up above. His second son, Jason, used all his fairy blessings to blast through the henchmen down below. His third son, Tim, turned all the witches' systems against each other. His third daughter, Stephanie, took up his form to carry it home. His youngest, Damien, covered their retreat. Together, the seven brought Bruce's body back to his home and laid it out as if for a funeral. They did not know of the witch's spell, and so thought him dead in truth. Together they wept over his body, until Dick, the eldest and the brightest, with hope enough to fill the seas, wrapped his arms around Bruce's body and did not let go. The others joined him, one and all, adding their belief and love to his. The Laughing Witch's spell, made of the darkest shadows, could not stand against such a light, and so the spell was broken. Bruce woke to his family around him. Their love healed the old wound in his heart, and he took them into his arms with tears in his eyes. And this is at last the end of the story. The Little Mermaid. Once upon a time there was a mermaid. This mermaid was a young boy, for mermaid is a word used to describe their kind, not their gender. This boy was full of hope and curiosity. He would often go up to the surface and watch the people. He watched the fishermen and the farmers, but what he liked watching most was the acrobats. He watched these people fly through the air like birds without wings, and soon he dreamed of flying too. His parents indulged him in his dreams. They thought it a childish notion that he would soon grow out of. And so things continued until there came a night with a terrible storm. Ships were crashed against the rocks, and below the waves the current tore apart the reefs where Dick lived. Dick's parents were killed, and he was swept away into eel-infested waters. Dick was rescued not by someone good or kind, but by a witch. This witch offered him a bargain. All his dreams, his heart's desire, but at a price. The witch wanted his voice. Dick did not think this such a price, for he was no singer to bewitch the hearts of men. But with the price there came a test. If Dick could not find a new family before 3 days had passed, he would be forced to return to the waves, and the witch to serve her until the tides came no more. Dick's parents had been good people, and in his youth he thought all people were good. He thought it would be a simple thing to find another family. He agreed to the witch's terms. In the next moment he felt the witch's magic wrap around him. The water that had been his life now choked him. With one last mouthful of salty water, he was carried upwards on the current and tossed upon the shore. After 3 days on the beach, Dick was cold and hungry and tired. There were plenty of people around, but no one paid him any attention. Without his voice he could not call out to them, could not ask them for help, could not explain what he needed. As the sun began to sink, he cast himself down and wept. It was then that a young man found him. This young man was Bruce Wayne. Bruce asked Dick why he was crying, but without a voice, Dick could not answer. Truly, the land was harsh to the sea's favored son. Still, Bruce would not be dissuaded, and so he took up a stick and carved his words into the sand. Dick was more than clever enough to see his purpose, and grabbed up a stick of his own. It took some time and some misunderstandings, but through pictures and gestures Dick was able to tell his story. Bruce was eager to help, but time was growing short. He knew many people in Gotham, but none who would be willing to take in a lost boy at such short notice. Dick took Bruce's hand and shook his head, holding on for all he was worth. There were no rules to the shape or size of family, and Dick only wanted Bruce. Surprised but heartened, Bruce agreed. And so for a time Dick was happy. Bruce knew something of flying like the acrobats, and he taught Dick what he knew. Together they set about watching over Gotham City, flying above its towers and walking its streets, and spreading their good works all the while. This story does not end there, for while Dick had met the terms of the spell, the witch still owned his voice. Magic can be a funny and fickle thing, and a voice is a powerful magic indeed. After a time, Dick found himself drawn once more to the water. If he was lost in his own mind, he would turn towards the sea, and if he was allowed to sleepwalk, he would often find himself waking at the end of a pier. One day he woke and the pull was too strong. He came back to himself in the knee-high water of the bay and could not turn away. Instead, he stripped off his shirt and dove into the waves, his legs once more becoming a tail as his gills reformed to let him breathe the water. A powerful current swept him away, and he swam for what seemed an age and no time at all, until finally he came upon the witch. The witch had changed from the last time he'd seen her. Where before she had been wrapped in seaweed, now there was plastic hanging from her limbs. Her scales were no longer bright green, but were stained dark with oil. She took Dick and bound him tight with seaweed and plastic both, dragging him up to the surface where she cast her spell. Dick was now tied to the land as much as the sea, and so the witch used him to call on the witches of the land. The sea witch demanded their attention, ordering them to purge the poisons they had been dumping into the waves. Some say that the land witches agreed and spent many days casting many spells. Some say they debated and bargained for many hours, twisting clever words until they were not quite lies. Some say the witches came together and attacked, purging the sea of the poisons but leaving a debt unpaid. Dick could not say what happened. He was too busy, trapped between sea and sky, belonging to neither. Bruce came to save him. When all was said and done, and the sea witch was satisfied, she offered Dick a choice. His voice returned if he came back to the sea. For Dick, this was not a choice. Voice or no, his home and family was on land. Bruce once more took his hand, leading Dick back out of the waves as his fins faded away for the last time. So it was that they returned home and lived there, happily, at least for a time. The Frog Princess. Barbara grew up in a loving home. Her father was a police officer and, more importantly, a good man. She saw the good deeds he did, and the good deeds others did, and admired them. Above all, she admired Bruce Wayne, for he was good and kind and true, and his son Dick, who was bright with hope. As she grew older, she set about doing good works of her own, for she did not know yet the dangers of the world. Her good works earned her enemies. Still, she persisted. As she worked with Bruce Wayne, she earned one enemy more dangerous than any other. The Laughing Witch had his eyes on her, set to punish her for her mentor's past actions. For 3 days, the witch cackled over his pot until the spell was ready. Barbara did not know that she was in danger. She went out into the city to do her good works, as she did every day. And on this day, she came upon a frog. Now the city is no place for a little frog, and he was having quite a time of it. She saved him from a nasty old cat, and was quite surprised when he spoke up to thank her. The frog said he was a prince trapped by a terrible spell. Only a kiss from one pure of heart could save him. Now, Barbara did not know if she was pure of heart, but being a modern girl, and with courage enough to spare, she thought nothing of kissing a frog. She bent and pressed her lips to his small green head, only for the world to shift around her. As she watched, the frog grew larger and larger, standing up on his hind legs. For a moment she thought that it had worked, but no. She was growing smaller as the spell took hold. Her body wrapped about with magic, changing her until her human form was lost, leaving nothing but a frog. The witch laughed, thinking himself quite clever, and abandoned her there, thinking that she would surely perish. For her part, Barbara was quite distraught. She did not know what to do or how to reverse the spell, but all the courage in her heart would not let her despair. If she could not find a solution, then surely Bruce could. It was an adventure in itself, making her way back to him, and yet when she told him what had happened, he did not have a solution. Still, he promised to do what he could, and called on all the good witches he knew for aid. Over time, when no solution was found, Barbara grew to accept her new form. She could not do her good works, but she was far from helpless. She spoke to Bruce, and he had a tower built. There she gathered her birds of prey and sent them out to watch over the city. She drew to herself 1,001 eyes, making information her business, and passing on what she learned to Bruce. Did she ever change back, you ask? No, for magic is not as simple as that, and sometimes what you lose is more than what you may gain. Instead, she made the spell her own, defying the Laughing Witch until the end of her days. Sleeping Beauty. Once upon a time there was a boy named Jason. When he was born, a fairy, whom his parents had annoyed, predicted a terrible fate for him. He was to die in fire and laughter at the age of 13. Now his parents, who were not the best of people, ignored the warning. The boy, for his part, grew up to be a spectacular thief. Above all else, he was daring. And so one day, when a spectacular prize was left at his fingertips, he took it when anyone else would have hesitated. The prize was a big black car with silver and chrome shining from the hood and tires. Though Jason didn't know it, the car belonged to Bruce Wayne. Before he could properly make away with his prize, Jason was caught. All he knew was that the man had hair as black as night, skin as white as snow, and eyes that sent shivers down his spine. Bruce looked down at him with steel in those eyes, but Jason was as daring as ever and did not look away. Bruce saw something there that he did not expect, and so he offered Jason a choice: to join him and do good works for the city, or be turned over to the police for whatever punishment they deemed fit. The latter was the safer option, a well-worn road that Jason had walked before. He chose the other path. For a time, Jason's life was as bright as it had ever been. He had a good, kind father, an older brother full of light and hope, a sister full of courage. But it was not to last. The fairy's words came true in the form of a laughing witch who captured Jason in order to strike out at Bruce. He wrapped Jason in spells that would explode if anyone drew near, laughing all the while. Though he tried desperately, Bruce was not fast enough to save him. But our story does not end here, for good knows its own, and those who do good will be rewarded. During his time helping Bruce, Jason had once aided a good fairy and earned their blessing. Instead of death, his body was protected and cast into a deep, dreamless sleep. The witch saw that his curse had been turned aside, and no matter how he raged, he could not tear asunder the fairy's blessing. But Jason was not his true target. When he failed to kill Jason, the Laughing Witch turned his anger on Bruce, using whispered words to convince him and all his family that Jason was dead in truth. There would be no true love's kiss to break the spell. For a year and a day, Jason slept until he was found by a dark coven. They sought to use his talents to their own ends, for a daring man can accomplish much, for good or ill. They wove their spells around him until the fairy's blessing was worn away. Jason woke with no memory, no heart, and no reason to go against his new masters. The coven sent him back to Gotham. There he faced his family, though he did not know it. Each of them, old and new, wept for what had happened to him. They tried to apologize, but he did not hear their words, and for a time they thought him lost. It was a new younger brother who discovered the secret of the spell. He learned that Jason's heart had been hidden away, and that, should it be returned, he would be himself again. Barbara sent out all her eyes and found where the secret was hidden. Together, Dick and Bruce fought through all the dangers and used their love to return Jason's heart. Love knows love, and so when Jason's heart was returned, he wept, for he was himself again. He returned to Bruce's side and set about doing their good works once more. Rapunzel. Once upon a time there was a clever boy trapped in a tall tower. No one knew why the tower had been built, or why it had no door, but only a window at the very top. Not many people knew that a boy lived in the tower, and no one had ever tried to rescue him. The boy's name was Tim, and in truth he was quite content. The tower held everything he needed, from food to clothing to puzzles that his clever mind could solve. If there was ever something that he needed, he had a drone that he could send out to fetch it. Tim only ever had one visitor, a witch who often brought him puzzles to solve, but was otherwise quite absent-minded and dull. The witch had even thought that reinforcing Tim's hair was a good idea, until Tim had built a lift onto the side of the tower. So things continued, until one day, when Tim was looking out of his window and saw a man, with hair as black as night, and skin as white as snow, doing good works throughout the city. Tim watched the man from a distance and learned his name was Bruce Wayne. He did research on Bruce and learned that he was good and kind and true. Tim learned of his son, Dick, full and bright with hope. His second son, Jason, who had been quite daring but was now gone. His daughter, Barbara, full of courage. The more Tim learned, the more he wanted to see. Each day he leaned a little further out his window. For the first time in his life, he was not content in his tower. Once his mind was made up, it was a simple matter for Tim to modify his drone. It was already strong enough to carry him, and so he flew through the air and down to Wayne Castle. When he stepped down onto the ground, he wobbled. For the first time that he could remember, the ground was not flat. Dick caught him before he could fall and signed something about legs. Tim was still learning sign language and did not catch all of it. When Tim told Bruce his tale, Bruce welcomed him, as did all his family, and together they did many good works. Now, though he spent most of his time at Wayne Manor, Tim often returned to his tower. It was a quiet place where he could concentrate away from his brothers. Because of this, and because the witch was quite absent-minded, it took him a while to notice that Tim had escaped. Tim tried to point out that he hadn't truly escaped. He always could have left, he just hadn't wanted to until then. The witch would not accept that as an answer. And the more Tim tried to reason, the angrier they got. The witch raged, destroying everything at hand, until there was nothing left in the tower but splinters of wood and metal. This time Tim was truly trapped with no way to return home or even contact Bruce. Now, if it had been before, Tim would not have minded the solitude, only the lack of internet. Now, though, he had seen the world and knew the joys it held. He was determined to find a way out and set his clever mind to thinking. Before Tim could come up with a solution, indeed, even before dinner, Bruce was at the base of his tower. Bruce said that Alfred was quite cross, that it was rude for Tim not to respond to their messages, even if he was distracted with his puzzles. If Tim was not to join them for dinner, he should say so. Tim quickly told Bruce what had happened, and together they got him out of the tower. After that, it was a simple matter to find the witch and deliver them to the proper authorities. By building friendships, Tim had built his own escape. Tim and Bruce returned to Wayne Castle, and after some discussion, Bruce had a tower built for him beside Barbara's, a perfect place to solve all the puzzles involved in their good works. The Genie in the Lamp. Once upon a time, there was a girl raised in darkness. Her family shared no love or light or even speech with her. Instead, they trained her in the art of violence and stealth. She became a master of her craft, but secretly she always wished and hoped for more. One day, the silent girl, Cassandra, was given a mission not to hurt someone, but to fetch something. She was led to a cave and was told that there was a very special lamp inside. Inside the cave she saw mountains of treasure, jewels that shone like the sun, and tapestries woven of the finest thread. But Cassandra was not tempted, for she knew that no treasure would help her escape her family. Cass found the oil lamp up on a pillar at the very back of the cave. As she approached, she was prepared for any number of terrible things to happen, but as she picked it up, there was no rumble of stone or shift in the air. Carefully tucking the oil lamp away, she quietly snuck out of the cave. Now, Cass had heard of the genie and its power, and so she dared to disobey her family as she had only done once before. That time had been to spare the life of an innocent who had seen too much. This time she hoped to save herself. She stole the lamp away, vanishing into the night until she was sure that they would not find her, at least for a time. When she rubbed the lamp, a giant blue woman appeared and began to speak. The genie listed out the rules, none of which were unreasonable, and at last fell silent, awaiting Cassandra's first wish. Cassandra did not know how to make words, and so she lightly touched the genie's arm and gestured. Both the genie and Cassandra fumbled through their communications, until at last the genie had an idea. She asked if Cass would like language to be her first wish. Cass nodded eagerly, for though she did not see language as such a great thing, she knew it would help with her true wish. And so the genie gave her the gift of language. Cass's words were stilted, but understandable, as she told the genie of her situation. Cassandra's second wish was that the genie free her from her family. The genie agreed. She called forth a magic mirror and showed Cass all the places she could go, all the people she could meet. For a long time, Cass was unsure. There were so many people, so many places, and she had never had a choice like this before. Then she saw a man with hair as black as night and skin as white as snow. She saw the good works he was doing with his family, and she makes her choice. The genie sent Cassandra to the frog's tower. When she appears, the frog is startled into a series of croaking curses, the like of which Cassandra has never heard before. Once again, Cassandra tells her story. She tells Barbara of her family and their ill designs against Bruce. She says that she wants to stop them, that she wants to help do good works. Barbara believes her, and together they stop her family. Then Bruce welcomes her into a new family. And as for the genie, well, Cassandra now has everything she has ever wanted, and so she used her third wish to free the genie and earned an eternal friend in the process. Cinderella. Once upon a time there was a girl. Like many other girls, she was not born to wealth or privilege. She had a loving mother and a kind but distant father. This girl's name was Stephanie. As she grew, Stephanie learned of right and wrong, and of justice. And so she was quite happy, until there came an accident. After her mother died, her father, who had no talent for raising children, remarried quickly. It was then that Stephanie learned that her father and her new stepmother were not good people. They were not witches, for not all bad people are witches, and not all witches are bad, contrary to what some stories say. The woman had two daughters, who were mean-spirited and spiteful by turns, and so it was that Stephanie grew with a strong sense of justice and right and wrong in a home filled with the latter. This continued until one day Bruce Wayne decided to hold a ball. It was to be the event of the season, and there was not a person in the city who did not wish to go. Stephanie imagined the light and the music, the laughter and the games, and was as eager as anyone else. Naturally, her new mother and step-siblings were just as eager. Her stepmother had wicked designs to trap Bruce Wayne, or at least one of his sons, into marriage, and take his fortune for their own. When Stephanie heard this, she was furious at the injustice of it. She promised herself she would not let it happen, and quietly hatched a plan. Now, none of her family were wealthy enough to buy tickets outright. Their only chance was to submit an application for one of the few community tickets. Each pled their case, submitting their own application. Secretly, Stephanie did the same. When the day came, it was Stephanie's application that won. Though she tried to keep it secret, her new sisters soon found out, stealing the tickets away and mocking her for her attempt. On the night of the ball, Stephanie was left abandoned at their home, while all her family rode in glory up to Wayne Castle. Stephanie wanted to rage at the injustice, but what could she do? She had no fine dress, no fancy car, and no invitation. And so it was that she was quite surprised when a long black car stopped in front of her door and the elderly gentleman stepped out. He said he worked for Mr. Wayne and had been sent to make sure she got to the ball. Stephanie thanked him eagerly and gladly accepted the gifts he offered, once more determined to stop her family. The ball was everything she could have imagined and more. There were lights and music, and such joy it seemed to go for days. She met the brothers, each speaking to her kindly, until the last, a boy her own age with long hair, offered to introduce her to his father. Bruce Wayne was speaking to her stepmother, and was quite confused when the introductions were made. Her sisters had claimed Stephanie's application as their own, and with her presence, Stephanie called their lie into question. Bruce Wayne, being a good and honest man, did not believe Stephanie when she said that they were lying. So it was that she ran from Wayne Castle out into the night, leaving only a single shoe behind. Bruce was quite confused at such a reaction, and turned to Stephanie's family, asking pointed questions. When they could not answer or speak about the application, Bruce Wayne had them cast out of the ball, and so their plans were thwarted. Now, that might have been the end of it. But for her help in uncovering the plot, Bruce now owed Stephanie a debt. Justice must be done. All his family offered to help, and it was Tim who found the shoe. With the shoe as a starting point, Barbara learned of Stephanie's family. Cassandra, who knew about bad families, tracked her down and offered her something better. Stephanie was overjoyed to be welcomed by the Waynes. She gladly joined their family, helping with their good works. The Beast. Once upon a time there was a little prince. His mother was a powerful sorceress and feared throughout the land. As he grew, the prince had many servants and was given everything he wanted. He simply had to give an order, and he would be obeyed. So it was that he grew quite spoiled and never learned right from wrong. When one night there was a terrible storm, and the prince, whose name was Damien, found himself alone in his castle. His mother was away, and had taken all the servants with her. So it was that when there came a great knocking at the door, there was no one to answer it. Damien let the knocking be, for he was a prince, not a doorman. But it persisted until, fed up with the noise, he went to see what was about. Out in the storm there was an old crone wrapped about with rags. She begged for shelter for the night, for the storm outside was raging. Damien scoffed and told her no, his castle would not be sullied by her presence. As he went to shut the door, she caught the edge and pushed it open once more. Now, instead of an old crone, a beautiful woman stood before him. She swept a hand across Damien's form, pronouncing, "May you be as beastly on the outside as you are on the inside," before turning away and vanishing into the night. When Damien looked down at himself, he found that his hair had grown long all over his body. His hands had grown into claws, while fangs and horns erupted from his head. At this change he did not know what to do, so he raged and wept until his mother returned. When his mother looked down upon her child, she said, "You are no good to me like this." She said the only way to break the curse was for Damien to change his nature. She could not teach him to be good, and so she took him away and left him on the edge of Gotham City. "If anyone can teach you, it will be your father," she told him. "If you would return to your old form, seek out Bruce Wayne." Damien cursed and howled and raged, and no one came to help him. At last he did set out to find his father, and it was indeed a simple thing. Yet when he found the man, he was not alone. Bruce had adopted 6 other children, and though none was his blood, Bruce treated them all the same. Now there were rules to follow, and Damien did not always get his way. He could not simply dismiss the other children as he was wont to, and so he often grew quite cross. When his anger rose, so did his fur, and his claws grew sharp and long. Yet even then they were kind to him. All around him were examples of cruelty becoming goodness. His new sister, Cassandra, had grown up darker than he, and yet she now spoke and laughed with the rest. So, too, Jason had been a thief, but now stood with the rest doing their good works. And so it was that over time he learned, and as he learned, his fangs and claws shrank away. There were no great acts to break the curse, but 100 small kindnesses to show him the way. The End.